This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Does Woody Johnson deserve an apology? We'll discuss in a few minutes. Plus your calls at 888-808-1019 and at 530. The old beard hairs that I somehow saved because I'm very, very strange. I have it in my hands right now in this little baggie. A little hefty, stronger sealed baggie. This is the hair from the beard I cut a little less than a year ago. It will be flushed in an emotional ceremony as Pete Alonso returns to the Mets on a two-year deal, so we look forward to that. But right now, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, Super Bowl themed. Evan, I think you're going to be proud of this because I actually put a serious amount of work into this.
Oh, nice.
I polled people of different ages that I know in my life. I also did research leading into games, newspaper articles, used the internet. I put 2 days worth of work into this. Okay. What have we been saying about this Super Bowl? And we had this argument yesterday, kind of unappealing to people.
I think it's going to be outstanding Super Bowl.
But still the idea of Chiefs and Eagles, we want this.
Right.
So I am giving you, not what happened as the outcome, but leading in the five most unappealing Super Bowl matchups of the last 30 years.
Okay.
And we'll see, did they end up being good games or not?
And you used, like, real careful polling data amongst friends and colleagues to get this
and
answer.
And then also wanted to kind of go back to, like, you know, the history archives, what was being said about the game coming in. All right?
Go ahead.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Super Bowl 40, 19 years ago. The Steelers and Seahawks in Detroit. Now, there was buzz about Jerome Bettis, but this was Matt Hasselbeck and the Seahawks. Nobody was into that team going in, and you had the Super Bowl in Detroit where nobody wanted to be.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I remember that Super Bowl and having zero desire to go.
And the result and what transpired kind of echoed that because most people look back on it and say the officials suck. Like it was the official Super Bowl more than it was the Steelers actually winning one, you know? They're fifth as a franchise.
Right. Yep, that's number five. Here we go.
Number four.
This one's interesting. Again, this is the lead-in.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl 43, Cardinals-Steelers.
Mm.
The irony of this is obviously it ends up being one of the great Super Bowls ever.
Sure.
But the hype was so mad. We remember the year before was the undefeated Patriots going down. And in this one, we get the Arizona Cardinals with 9 wins. I know they had Kurt Warner going to take on. Here we go with the Steelers again. Right. Not a lot of pre-hype juice going into that game.
No, I think so, and especially around here because of what you said. Like, we were just coming off as New Yorkers, a giant run. Mm-hmm. The Giants also had a bad first-round exit.
Yeah, and that was
the Eagles.
Brady tore his ACL. So
Brady's not in the playoffs. The Jets had a tease of a season, right, because they got off to an 8-3. So, locally, we're also kind of depressed, which I think adds to it. So, yeah, I'm with you.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
The number three most unappealing Super Bowl matchup last 30 years, Super Bowl 41, the Colts and the Bears. Peyton Manning getting there had juice, but this was Rex Grossman and the Bears. And the big spin that week was, well, you know, defense wins championships, you never know.
Right.
But there was really nothing there from the Chicago end of things.
I mean, Devin Hester returned the opening
kickoff. He did. And there were moments in that game that were cool. Right. Prince at halftime and everything. But going in, it was just the idea of the Bears with Rex Grossman here.
And also, Indianapolis had just won this classic, this legendary AFC championship when they came back on New England. That was the champion. That was the Super Bowl. That was the moment of the season. And you kind of knew the Super Bowl would be sort of a dud.
Yep. All right, here we go.
Number two.
Super Bowl 53. The Patriots and the Rams.
Oh, yeah.
The hype or lack thereof of the game matched the game itself with a 13-3 stinker.
And I don't remember why.
I'll tell you why. Okay. Oh, there's reasons why.
I have them listed. Is it going to match?
I'm just giving you my opinion.
Okay.
The championship games that were played prior were so amazing, but controversial. The Chiefs, who I think everyone at the time was dying to see, the young Patrick Mahomes, lost the game essentially on an offsides by D. Ford.
Right.
And then the Rams, many people thought were illegitimate because of the non-PI call in the New Orleans Saints NFC Championship game. Now, both games were classics. They went to overtime. I think we said this 2 weeks ago. Probably the greatest championship Sunday of all time.
Definitely.
Like, it doesn't get much better than that. But I think that we all felt kind of disappointed by the results.
And then you get the lowest scoring Super Bowl in NFL history. And you have to go back to like Super Bowl IV to get one that's even close.
Right.
And remember, people are screaming Chief fatigue now. That was massive Patriots fatigue. And then because of the officials, if you're going to Patriot fatigue, it's one thing. We got robbed of Brady versus Brees.
Right.
Yeah. That's the other thing. And I didn't really subscribe to that because the Saints had the ball in their hands to start overtime.
Yeah.
So go score a touchdown. None of this matters.
I agree with that.
So I feel like it was almost like too lazy to say it, but no doubt about it, I felt the exact same way because there was almost a disappointment. A, the game was never going to match what had just happened, and it felt like we were waiting for a different result we didn't get.
Yep. All right, and here we go.
Number one.
The number one most unappealing Super Bowl matchup of the last 30 years. You go back to Super Bowl 33, the Broncos and Falcons.
Well,
we already had the Broncos as champs. We had a chance to get the Jets in there, which was big. But then on the other side of it, this great Viking team could have been there playing the Broncos, and the Dirty Bird plunky Falcons upset them in that wild NFC championship game.
What was the running back's name?
Jamal Anderson.
The Dirty Bird.
Yeah. You just knew that Falcon
team. Was Morton Anderson on that team too?
He was the Viking kicker that missed the big kick.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm so biased, man, because there are three Super Bowls that I would rank, if I was doing like a personal list, the three least appealing Super Bowls. And they're the three where the Jets lost the championship game two weeks earlier.
That makes sense.
Because as a fan, now you guys don't know anything about this, because one thing about the Giants that's pretty unique, they've never lost an NFC championship game.
That's right.
Ever.
5-0.
You get to the NFC championship game, you win. That's Giant history. So this is a feeling you have no idea, losing a game right before the Super Bowl. You get there.
Right.
So those three, the back-to-back in after the 9 season and the 10 season. And by the way, those Super Bowls weren't even bad. Like, you're talking about Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Indianapolis, New Orleans, Peyton Manning against Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers against the Saints. Like, they're awesome Super Bowls, but selfishly, it was rough, man.
So I do this list to say, while we expect the game to be good, do you think that this game, unappealing-wise for people, cracks this list?
I think the game will be very good.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll match last year, because last year went to overtime, and it was so legendary. Yeah. But I think it'll be good.
And I think the history in this game is going to be, because you have a team trying to three-peat, which has never happened in the NFL. Other sports, yes, but it's never happened in the NFL. Pat Mahomes is legendary already. Andy Reid's going to be one of the greatest coaches ever when it's all said and done. And so you have the names and the story for like a bigger deal. It's not a one-off Super Bowl. And the Eagles, right, as much as we hate them, you hate them. So I get why people are saying there's no appeal, but I disagree because I think the game is laying out to be really freaking good.
And we've been spoiled the last few years because we've had a lot of really good Super Bowls.
Yes.
I mean, the last bad Super Bowl, I hate to say it, was Brady against Mahomes only because it wasn't really a great game.
No.
I mean, Mahomes had no chance. And so that game, if you think back to
that was with his offensive line, was so bad.
Yeah, they blew him out that game.
And half a crowd, it was the COVID Super Bowl.
Yeah. That probably added to it, too. And then you mentioned the Patriot-Ram one. But outside of that, like, think about all the classics. Even before that, New England-Atlanta, The Patriots against the Falcons.
Seattle.
The Seattle. Like, there's so many good ones. So I think we've been spoiled that they're mostly good. And I think this will be a good game.
I agree.
Thank you, Sean.
All right.
Now, before we get to your calls, Woody Johnson has taken a lot of heat. He's taken a lot of heat. But he may have just been...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vindicated by the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are a well-run franchise. Very well-run. They know what they're doing. We're going to play you something that may make you think differently about Woody Johnson. Their general manager is Eric DaCosta, and he was doing an interview this week on Radio Row, and he was talking about how they evaluate players. Take a listen to the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens.
A lot of other stuff, too, that we use. For instance, Madden ratings. Who would ever think that an NFL team would use Madden ratings in one of their models? Well, we do, giving you just a small piece of what we do.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, fascinating. When it came out that the Jets did that, Woody Johnson and his kids were dragged through the mud. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens use Madden ratings. Take your thoughts.
I think it's a troll.
What do you mean it's a troll?
I think he's trolling. I think he's trying to make you think that that's a real thing.
Are you serious?
Because why would you look at Madden ratings?
Because it's an analytic.
Okay, based on what?
Based on, you want me to explain how Madden ratings are formed?
I have no idea how Madden ratings are created.
All right, I'll read it to you.
I really don't.
The Madden rating for each player is a composite of scores in 43 categories that each player is graded on, and players are categorized as either rookies or veterans. For rookies, data from Pro Days and the NFL Combine are used to determine the ratings for speed, strength, and other performance categories.
Okay, so how are those ratings determined? So it's an aggregate of ratings, but where are those ratings that are aggregated come from?
Yeah, but well, hold on. I got to defend this. I was listening, because I wasn't reading it, to Andy Martino's book about the Yankees.
Uh-huh.
It was a very good book, by the way.
Okay.
And in it, he was talking about the Yankees formula. And I apologize, I may not get this 100% right. I'm trying to remember from what I read. But the Yankees used to have a grading system. They actually still use it. And Andy was describing it, like late 80s, early 90s with Gene Michael. And it was kind of the same thing. Like, okay, based on speed, we rate you 1 to 30. Based on arm strength, 1 through 30. Based on base running, 1 through 30. And then they composite a score, and they determine, okay, we like this player. He's a 35. He's a 27. However they did the scores.
Right.
It's the, if you really think about it, what's the difference between that Madden ratings and analytics?
Because I think baseball has the benefit of looking at the tools that a player possesses, and you can be predictive on how they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like how fast they are, you know, they're 60, whatever it is, the first, like all that stuff. Strength, power. Football is such a nuanced game that you don't have to be like an elite athlete to be great at it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the rating is skewed if you're not putting eye test on it. Right?
Yeah,
so,
no, I get eye test matters more. I agree with you on that.
And it's also, but that's also flawed because I think.
Of course, everything is flawed.
I think PFF grades are grossly flawed sometimes.
Right.
Especially when you look at offensive linemen and watching a game tape and saying, oh, well, he didn't give up a sack. Well, okay, that's because he was helped six times
right. Every
single time. I mean, Dexter Lawrence pointed this out after the Cowboys game when the Cowboys rookie center had this, I think he had like a damn near perfect grade. And Dexter Lawrence got asked about it the next week. And he's like, well, how you feel a rookie having a perfect grade on you? And Dex like laughed at it, basically, you know, being offended. Like, dude, the kid was asking for help every single play. And so, of course, he didn't give up a sack because I was double teamed every single time. And the times they didn't double team me, he got pressure on Dak. And so, like, I think sometimes even the eye test will fail you. So I can't think of throwing a statistic on it on a human being and saying that's what defines him.
But
that,
just
that just doesn't make sense to
no,
me.
No, no, but just because something is flawed doesn't make it useless.
I'm not saying it's useless.
So is Madden rating useless?
I don't think it's useless.
Okay, but
I don't think you're putting that at the top of your list.
I'm not saying it's the top of the list, but when Woody Johnson, when it's written about, and this is where, like, I appreciated that Athletic article, and there were things from it that I was mad about.
Mm-hmm.
I remember screaming and yelling on the radio. But one of the things I wasn't mad at was the Madden rating.
Hmm.
And now here's a Baltimore Raven GM. Unless you believe, really, he's trolling. I don't think so. I think he was giving an honest answer.
I'm just saying
yeah, we use Madden rating.
I've been in and around football for a lot of years, Evan.
Yes.
I'll be 50 next year. Actually, I'll be 50 in 2 months.
Are you going to be 50 in 2 months?
Yeah, April.
We got to do something.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. And so,
damn it.
I've seen a lot of football.
Yes.
I've heard a lot of evaluation techniques. I have never, ever, until this year, heard people using Madden.
Can you do me a favor? Because I trust you.
Yeah.
You got Joe Shane's number?
I do.
Can you text him and say, hey, listen, first of all, can you come on the show? But until you're ready to come on the show, we're talking about this. We're having a conversation. Hey. Do you guys ever use Madden ratings in any kind of way when evaluating players?
I reached out to him.
Thank you.
Oh, I hate that. Please protect the fort.
What could possibly happen that's bad
right
now? You don't
want him to say yes.
I don't want him to answer either way. I'm going to tell you
why.
Right. Can I give an honest answer?
I'm not going to rip him if he says yes. I'm defending him.
I'm going to give you an honest answer.
Yes.
Okay? Say what you want to say, whether you like or dislike Joe Shane. Boy, has he been through it since that Hard Knocks with the Saquon
right,
stuff.
You know what? I'm going to go to a softer landing spot. I have another GM I'll talk to
okay.
when I get to it.
If,
and you guys are something.
No, because here's the thing.
I'm not putting the Giants in the same category with the Jets.
If he says yes.
The Ravens.
But this is the thing, Evan, this is what you're missing. If Joe says yes, people will go, yeah, but what if Tiki was right? The Ravens are trolling. Now we got Joe Shane doing this? If he says no, then it's, so he's too good to do what the Ravens are doing? Can't win with the answer?
I understand
I'll
your
ask, I'll ask another GM.
That's fine. As long as we get a GM.
You got Gettleman's number?
Yeah, no. You don't know what Madden is.
A current one.
Come on now. Come on. Listen, I just think that's
I don't want to know.
I love how I scared you. Like, that question really scared the crap out of you.
I don't think Madden was big enough when Gettleman was GM.
No, see, that's the problem. It was. He had no idea what technology was.
He didn't know what a PS5 even was.
All right.
Let's go to Warren in Forked River, New Jersey. How are you, Warren?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's no up, problem, man. What's up?
First off, diehard, long-time Giant, Met fan. Tiki, thanks for all the great memories.
I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, and I actually still reference you to this day as a high school coach about ball security when you transition. When you transition, and I tell the kids about it, call, you know, talk about high and tight.
Yep,
and,
you got to go that way. Go to the ground, high and tight. You'll never
That's right,
back.
Man. That's right. So, they can, unfortunately, some of these kids don't even know who Tiki Barber is in New Jersey.
That's because that's like I just said, Warren, I'm almost 50. These guys weren't even thoughts. These kids were barely in their parents' minds when I was playing.
But it's a good history. It's a good history lesson for them, and they take it in stride. But as a Mets fan, I just wanted to get your guys' take on the starting lineup tomorrow. If you're for the Mets, 1 through 9, I want to hear everyone's opinions on it. One through nine,
very easy for me. I actually wrote it down,
right?
Because I was so excited last night with Pete Alonso. I was excited. I would go Lindor, Alonso 2, Soto 3, Vientos 4, Nimmo 5, Marte 6, McNeil 7, Alvarez 8, and then my center field platoon of Siri and Taylor 9. Obviously, there are days where Winker will play DH, so there are really two platoons on the Mets right now.
Right.
Marte and Winker at DH, Siri and Taylor in center. Jeff McNeil, too, could be on the outs. I know Lugie said earlier in the show he wants Acuna to be the everyday second baseman.
Yeah.
What I would say is be patient. That may well happen.
Well, I mean,
he's not right away.
Presented that as if it's happening today. So you're right now as everything can, what you know about.
Yep.
So theoretically, Jet Williams or Luis Angel Acuña, they're not necessarily in
not
the
right
conversation.
Now. Not right now. Not right now.
But Lindor.
Soto.
Alonso.
Vientos.
Nimmo.
Yeah.
McNeil.
Marte Alvarez Taylor. In that whatever way you want.
I'd probably go that way.
Here's the funny part. The only thing people really care about is the 1 through 4. Like once we get to the bottom, it's like, yeah, wherever.
Right. I mean, the only thing it's Alvarez who it doesn't matter really because he's gonna be in the bottom three. But if Alvarez becomes Alvarez that we saw for a brief moment in 2 years ago.
He can move up. Well, one thing I do like, and I know that Hoff's gotten crap for this, Pete Hoffman. He doesn't like Brandon Nimmo, so he has said numerous times Nimmo should bat ninth.
Because he had a bad season.
He's never liked Brandon Nimmo. I don't know the reason behind it.
Yeah, he was clutch last year. So
that's what I mean.
So, he had a bad second half. He had a great first half.
Right.
I'm not suggesting Nimmo should bat ninth, but I love the idea of somebody with a high on base batting ninth. I think the ninth slot is a very underrated spot in a batting order.
Because when it comes back around, it's
absolutely.
Like you have two
leadoff hitters. I want guys on base for Lindor and who's ever batting second. So I would flirt with the idea of Jeff McNeil batting ninth. Yeah, a little bit of, not that he's a high on-base guy, but he can obviously hit for an average.
Yeah.
It gives me a little bit more at the bottom of my order. All right, real quick, I'll ask you, Sean, because, Lugie, you agree with me, right?
Yes, I do.
So you're going Lindor, Alonso, Soto, Vientos, Nimmo?
Yes.
Okay. Sean, quickly, you're top five.
See, I still wouldn't put Alonso second. I want more at-bats for Soto.
Just give me your five.
Okay, I'm going to go Lindor, Soto, right. Vientos, Alonso, Nimmo, Alonso. I'd bat Alonso fifth.
Hate that idea.
Switch up the lefties and the righties.
Yeah, I don't like that idea, but that's totally fine.
Okay, well, Pete hasn't earned having more at-bats.
He hasn't earned?
Yeah,
he hit the biggest home run in the history of the city besides Bobby Thompson.
Okay, you're ranking which players you want up for the Mets in the most important parts.
So you're doing that as Lindor's on base, Soto give Soto a chance.
Yeah, and I prefer Vientos' bat.
Vientos protects Soto.
Yep, and then I'm just splitting
and
up.
And then you have Nimmo, potentially, let's say the inning ends. And Nimmo on base.
And there's Alonso.
Give Pete Alonso a chance. But then who protects Alonso?
I'm going to give you a homework assignment, Sean. I want you to Cinco de Five-O.
Francisco Alvarez, by the way.
I want you to Cinco de Five-O, the five most important home runs in the history of New York baseball. And then you get back to us tomorrow.
I can assure you this.
Yes.
I will
most important home runs in the history of New York baseball. Yes.
I will absolutely do that Cinco.
No,
if
you won't.
Think I am doing that Cinco the last show before the Super Bowl.
No, don't do it for the Super Bowl. Do it for my own enjoyment. Like, we don't even have to air it. It's literally at 1 o'clock when you come in. Dude. Dance for me.
Wait,
I can do a Dubois. Jeez.
I'm just joking around. No, because I was thinking he's right. We're not doing that on Football Friday, the Super Bowl. So. Why did you just read it to us, at 2:15 or something?
I think the feeling, Evan, by the way, I'm not coming at this as an Alonso Med hater. I'm just giving you my opinion. I think those, based on everything I want my three best bats getting the most at-bats. Alonso's not one of them.
Totally get it. We will have a nice, respectful ceremony for this. I'm holding it in my right hand. These are the hair follicles of the beard I grew in honor of Pete Alonso for over like a year. Or maybe it was not quite a year, but it was a long time. We will have a ceremony saying goodbye to those beard follicles, considering the job has been done and Pete Alonso is back.
Plus, we just secured a security guard for the arrangement.
And we got a security guard? Yeah, we're doing this in the bathroom.
Yes.
Oh, so Connor. Thank Connor.
There you go.
We have Yon Connor. We have actual security.
No, we've hired other people.
So you will hear this ceremony live on the fan. We'll be in a bathroom, and then we'll come back and talk about many other things, like football and Sean's requested time. He's got something he really wants to get off his chest. So I don't know what it is, but like Loogie requested time yesterday. We give it to him. Sean requested time.
You know, you just have a mic. It's open. You can just.
Well, Evan makes this way more. It's not. I told Evan this is what's going down. He could say it's a request only once it was happening, whether he denied the request.
No, he asked very nicely. He's like, Evan, can I please? So we've had this weird thing going on for a while, and I admit it's very weird. All right. I'm a weird guy. What can I tell you? I was so adamant that I wanted the Mets to extend Pete Alonso and keep him long term. I started growing my beard out. And I said I wouldn't cut my beard until Pete Alonso was extended. And that went on for a very long time. There was some moments where I was about to shave it, not shave it. Either way, I ended up looking like an animal. You know, the beard was just crazy, crazy long. And finally, to try to spark the Mets and spark Pete, I cut the beard. And I did that at Memorial Day last year. And it kind of worked. The Mets ended up having a great run. I saved the beard with the help of our boss, Ryan Hurley. I give him a lot of credit, too. He helped me save it. I put it in a paper bag, and I kept it. Not paper bag, but a plastic bag.
Yes.
And so I've had these beard hairs, and I was like, what the heck are we going to do with it?
Didn't your son want to play with it?
I did. My youngest son, Spence, wanted to play with it.
And did he ever play with
it? No, I never allowed that. Good. Never allowed that.
Just making sure.
Sean thought I got him sick when I brought it in a few weeks ago to try to turn the mojo around on the Pete Alonso negotiations. And we asked Tommy, the executive producer of this show, what do we do with this? And Tommy had, I think, one of his best ideas. He said, no matter what happens, whether he leaves or stays, we should have a public ceremony where we flush the hairs down the toilet here at WFAN. And I said, you know what? That's actually a really good idea. We could finally put an end to this forever thing. So Pete is back, as you know. We spent a lot of the day talking about it. Rewind on the Odyssey app, especially if you don't want to hear a beard go down a toilet. And so our public ceremony is about to begin. Tommy Lugauer is in the men's room here at WFAN. Tommy, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Evan, and I'm about to say something that I never thought I'd say on the radio, but Evan, I am in the bathroom and I am waiting for you.
All right. I'm about to put my headphones down. I will be leaving the FAN studios with the beard follicles. The anchor this coverage of this special event, of course, the great Tiki Barber and Sean Morash. I'll talk to you in about 2 minutes live from the bathroom.
Evan, have a safe walk to the bathroom. Please don't get into any trouble along the way. Now, Sean, this might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life. Maybe because you and I don't have hair. We can't relate to this on the top of our head.
Yeah.
Both Loogie and Evan have head on the top of their head. But this is beard hair. Maybe we could relate, but not really.
No, yeah, and I want to let the audience in on this. We, as Tiki and I, at least know, this is ridiculous, disgusting, disturbing, all of that. So we're in this for the good of the show. This is what they want to do, and this was, you know, Tommy's idea, and that's fine. But Tiki and I, while giving you the play-by-play on this, want to distance ourselves as far from this bit as possible 100%. In our career resumes.
Connor Green is in the booth with you back there, Sean. Connor, please tell everybody that Sean and myself are in our studio.
You guys are in the studio. You guys are not partaking in this bit. Well, you're partaking in it, but you're not going to the bathroom to participate in the bit.
When the bathroom blows up, we have nothing to do with it at all. All right.
Our fearless leader came to the wrong bathroom. That was the delay. But Evan Roberts, what's the issue?
This is a disaster already.
Guys, we had a major problem. I went to the wrong bathroom. Someone was going. And I was like, saying, Tommy, where are you? Tommy, where are you?
I thought you had a security guard.
I went to the wrong bathroom. I was so confused. Anyhow, sorry.
Evan, can we just get this over with, please?
We can.
Yes.
TC, right. Sean, Connor, well, I prepared a speech.
Before you say
Evan
your speech,
is now,
Tommy.
What?
Is everything flush? We don't need anything looking like a chia pet in there.
There's a little extra TP here. Somebody should have double flushed. But we should be good here. Evan is in the bathroom with me. He has his beard hair in a plastic bag, in a Ziploc bag. The beard is now in his hand. I have prepared a speech for this ceremony. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, esteemed friends and baseball fans, today we gather to bid farewell to a legend in his own right, Evan Roberts Beard Hairs. For years, these brave little follicles have graced his chin, embodying his passion for the Mets and the spirit of perseverance. But alas, in a twist of fate, it is time to part ways with these mighty strands in honor of a new chapter for the New York Mets. As we reflect on the significance of Pete Alonso's new contract with the Mets, we acknowledge that this marks a new era of hope and excitement for the team. Pete, the polar bear, is here to stay, and his future is as bright as ever. His powerful swing and unwavering dedication have earned him a place at the heart of this organization. In this moment of renewal, we recognize that change comes in all forms, even in the form of the beard hairs that once stood as a testament
to Evan's
unyielding support for the Mets. Evan, do you have any last words for the beard?
I'm going to miss these beard hairs.
Make it quick.
Lasting memory of what I did for you, Pete. But you know what? For the greater good, I'm going to get rid of these beard hairs. I'm now picking them up.
Evan is now, the beard is in his hair. He's putting it into the toilet.
Put this like that. I don't think it's on.
You're not supposed to stick your hand in the toilet water. Evan's hand now has toilet water all over it. The hair is now in the toilet.
We have a problem. It's an automatic flush. How do we get this to flush?
No, you push the button.
You take off your pants, you sit
right
down,
now,
and then you pop back up.
And we have now heard that, and we have now flushed Evan's beard hair down the toilet.
All right,
Evan. Back to you guys at the shop.
Make sure Evan spends at least 3 minutes washing his hands.
Oh, God. Tiki, there are moments in life where they say the customer is always right.
Yes.
I've heard, you know, over the years from people, you know, I miss the old WFAN. Mm. Today's a day I got to wonder, you know, is Francesa rolling over in his WFAN grave?
Yes.
I mean, what the hell just happened?
You're boring me to tears with this. I'm sorry. I can't go on.
He's disgusting you to tears with this. I can't go on. This
I mean,
is
my
ridiculous.
God, Evan Roberts just dumped 6-month-old shaven hair down a toilet bowl in New York City for Pete Alonso.
And it was all for Pete.
By the way, on a 1-year deal.
Right. I can't tell you when I shave my beard hair. I can't wait to get it down this thing.
Of course.
I don't want to see it at all. It's that disgusting just to look at around. Did you wash your hands?
I did. That was horrible. I didn't like doing that.
That was hard. Evan, you're like the kid that keeps all his boogers and fingernails in a shoebox.
I just, you know, if you would have just put it in the trash can right there, it would have gotten thrown away. It would have been just as good.
That's a good point. I'm horrified for two reasons. Number one, I went to the wrong bathroom. And so I was harassing somebody that was not Tommy.
My name's not Tommy.
I was like, Tommy, where are you? And then I realized, holy crap. So I ran to the next bathroom and then, look, saying goodbye to the beard follicles was sad. It was a good run. Mm. We had a good run together. But at the end of the day, it's a happy day. Pete Alonso's back as a New York Met. And that was fun. Tommy, you did a great job. That was a wonderful speech. Did you write that speech yourself?
I did. That was great.
Well done. All right, so now we can all move on with our lives. The beard will never be seen again. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm ever going to guarantee I'm growing my beard anymore. And Pete Alonso, hopefully you're thankful for everything that we did for you.
I am so close from a Met gimmick ban on the show.
Well, what did I tell you earlier, though, Teak? I said 2024 was fun. It had a lot of cool stuff. Right. It had OMG. It had Seymour Wiener. It had Positive Tommy. It had my beard. It had Grimace. It had everything. But 2025 is about the new. 2025 is about kicking ass. 2025 is about we're legitimately a good baseball team, and we don't need those gimmicks. So I agree with you. Goodbye, OMG. Goodbye, Grimace. Goodbye, Seymour. Goodbye, Beard Hair. Goodbye, Positive Tommy.
No, well, one would say Positive Tommy's unkillable. When you walked into the bathroom,
yes.
Number one, I told you there was a security guard. Did you see a security guard?
No, I did not.
And then when you did the Stewie, mama, mommy, when I wasn't answering you, did you ever think perhaps in a public bathroom it might not be Loogie in that storm?
I feel terrible for that person. That's all I can say.
I can't.
I literally can't. Tommy.
I just, again, want to lay out the timeline here. You grew a beard out to save Pete Alonso's Met career. You shaved the hair. Instead of disposing like any of us would have, you kept the hair. And now we are flushing the hair. And in the end, all Pete got was a 1-year deal.
But he did get $30 million.
Oh, great.
I mean, he did pretty well. Sean, you did tell me earlier that you had requested some time. So yesterday on the program, we had some fun stuff, including a debate that occurred between Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer.
Which Sean won.
Yeah, Sean did win the debate. It was a great debate. It was about Dave Gettleman versus Joe Shane. Basically, Sean was putting more of the blame on the Giant failures on Dave Gettleman, and Lugie was saying, I put it on Joe Shane. And it was very heated. It was the Lugash debate series. If you missed it, you can download the Evan and Tiki podcast.
But I guess a day later, Sean wanted to add something to the debate. So, Sean, the floor is yours.
Yeah, look, there are times you can win a game by kicking a field goal and getting out of there. And there are times where, you know what, you want to keep scoring. Yeah, Tiki, what was the score of the Giants-Vikings NFC Championship game you participated in?
That would be 30 or 41 donut.
41 donut. So this is my 41 donut. I've already beaten him on this. Radio Row has produced some wonderful interviews. Micah Parsons wanted to go back to the year he was drafted, a draft in which Dave Gettleman orchestrated the Giants draft. By the way, they ended up with Kadarius Toney there. Mm. Micah Parsons had some thoughts on his draft that involved the Giants. Want to hear them?
Oh,
sure.
God.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't rock with the Giants like that.
Nah, bro. They lied to me.
What'd they say to you?
Yeah, people don't know this. They told me if I fell to 11 that they was going to pick me.
You lying.
I swear.
I don't believe that.
That's why I punish the Giants every time.
So it's personal when you play against the Giants. It's bigger than just a Cowboy-Giants rivalry.
Yeah.
So you were actually thinking you were going to New York?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because when the Cowboys traded back, I was like, oh, shoot, I'm going to New York.
So who did the Giants take that year?
They took Kadarius Toney.
Did they?
Yeah. They dropped all the way to pick 20.
So, Giants, it's personal when this man see y'all.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
So, again, for all those, give Dave Gettleman credit for Saquon Barkley. They traded out of a spot where they promised Micah Parsons they would take him and ended up with Kadarius Toney and the pick that selected Evan Neal. Mm. Keep bragging about Gettleman better than Shane.
You know what, Sean? I'm glad that you did this. Let us all, 5:49 here on a Thursday.
Who was the coach?
That was Judge.
You blaming him?
I'm just trying to figure out why you would hurry or drop so far back. You're sitting at 11. Just for clarification, if you're picking a top 10 player, that player better be a star, right? That's the basic saying.
Right.
If you don't draft a star in the top 10, you screwed up the draft. 11's pretty damn close. So, but if you're at 11, you're going to get a pretty good player.
Right, and remember, they traded that pick to Chicago. Chicago took Justin Fields. The Giants went back to get Kadarius Toney, and to Sean's point, they then had a great pick the following year that was then screwed up. But it was screwed up by Joe Shane, in fairness.
Right.
I just want to be accurate about that.
I'm just trying to think in real time. Who told Dave Gettleman, you know what, we don't need the edge rusher. We really desperately need a wide receiver. Because that's what happened.
Clearly, because once DeVonta Smith was taken by Philadelphia after the trade-up, the Giants basically said, okay, we're out. We can't get DeVonta Smith. We'll trade back. We'll get a wide receiver at 20 we like anyway, Kadarius Toney. And by the way, in theory, and what I'd be curious about with you, Sean, is what did you say at the time? Like, did you like it at the time? Because
I think I did.
Okay. No, because it ultimately ended up being a gift for Joe Shane, because Joe Shane was left with this awesome top 10 pick that was handed to him by Dave Gettleman, and then he flushed it down the toilet. Just to be fair, I know you're trying to spike on Loogie, but the more I think about this, the more it's Joe Shane's fault.
Okay.
He was given an extra pick.
All right.
And he didn't pick well.
He picked Evan Neal.
I think there's like 30 things that are true here.
Okay.
Right? Number one, I am not an NFL general manager. I didn't do all the scouting, doing all of that. The reason I know I was okay with this is I was the only one around here, and I was doing the Giants podcast at the time. My prediction for who the Giants ended up in the first round of the year was Kadarius Toney. I was the only one to get it right. So I was very happy I got it right.
Yeah. He just never felt like a Giant from a character standpoint.
He didn't, but I'm glad. Perfect words, Tiki. The reason I didn't want Micah Parsons, it's revisionist history. Micah Parsons kind of had like some weird allegation stuff at Penn State.
Yes, he did.
So for me, I was like, I don't trust that guy coming out of that. I was dead wrong. Didn't know the Cowboys would end up with Micah Parsons. He basically wrecked games. And then in the next year, you're right. Joe Shane screwed up taking Evan Neal. But it wasn't like Joe Shane plucked him out of thin air like Jerry Reese did with Eric Flowers.
No, he should have been a good player.
Everybody thought Evan Neal was going to be awesome.
He should have been a good player.
Right, he should have been. They screwed up.
Can I have a little rebuttal here? Because I'm so glad you brought this up, Sean. I'm so glad you played this audio. What has Sean's mission been this week, whether it's Lawrence in Oklahoma or any of the Giant fans? It's Giants versus the Cowboys and the Eagles. We got to get back to being that old-time Giant fans. Just let it be known that Sean is siding and taking the word of a Dallas Cowboy. And he's using a Cowboy as a prop now. After me. So,
weak.
I mean, he's siding with the Cowboy. Just let it be known.
I think that my argument was a lot better, which was, hey, that trade could have been good if Joe Shane made a good pick. Look, I think that story resonates with Tiki, because didn't that basically occur with you?
There was a reason that I destroyed the then Redskins.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
So Micah Parsons is probably telling the truth, and he has every right to be pissed.
The difference is, what was his name? Connolly. No, not Charlie.
Charlie Casserly.
Yeah. Charlie Casserly told me that they weren't drafting me.
Right.
But I was disappointed at the time. I wasn't sitting there waiting on draft day. Oh, they're going to take me. Washington's going to take me. Washington. And then they didn't.
Right.
That's what happened with Micah Parsons.
Right.
This was Charlie Casserly coming down to our pro day in whatever, March, and saying, we're not going to take you.
Right.
And it just kind of, I don't know, it crushed me.
No, I get it. And that's why I totally get where Micah Parsons is coming from. If the Giants lied to him and he uses it as motivation, even if it's the story's a little different than yours, it's still motivation against a division rival that for whatever reason you feel slighted by on draft night.
Well, can Micah also know, look, Judge is gone, Gettleman's gone. Stop taking it so personal every game.
But the problem I have with you, Sean, even though I thought you won the argument, is when I think back to that transaction, I think that what really screwed it up was not hitting on next year's pick two.
Yeah.
It's bad enough that they
missed both.
I get it. They traded back, okay? They went from 12 to 20, okay? They went back. And they said, we didn't get the wide receiver we wanted in Devontae Smith. We'll take Kadarius Toney. Absolutely whiffed on it. 1,000% Micah Parsons would have been better. But one of the things about that trade is that because the Bears sucked, even though they got their quarterback, is you had another great pick. If instead of drafting Evan Neal, Joe Shane drafts, I don't know, Garrett Wilson, what are we saying? Goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Not in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. They had Jose Reyes last night. Jose Reyes sealed the deal on Alonzo. Jose said that on social media. I agree with him. Mm. He was passionate about bringing Pete back. He was awesome. So check that out if you're on TV, if you're on the radio, stick with us. So what if they drafted Garrett Wilson? Your view on this would be completely different.
Yeah, you're right.
Nice try.
I mean, it worked. There's one, we're holding off on some piece of NBA news Tiki may have, but I got to tell you something else before we go to break.
Piece of NBA news you may have? I'm very excited.
Chris Haynes is reporting.
Yes.
There was a last-ditch effort by a team to get Kevin Durant at the whistle of the deadline.
Don't do it with the Knicks?
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Really?
And they could not get it done at the deadline.
Oh, wow.
So what were they offering? Like Julius, who has a big contract?
I'm curious. We don't have that, but it was interesting. The Timberwolves tried to
Would jump. Durant have gone there? And would that have mattered? Because what I find interesting is that apparently, I think Shams is reporting, Durant was set to go to the Warriors. They had a deal agreed upon. Or Brian Windhorst reported this, that KD was going to go back to Golden State, Jimmy Butler to Phoenix, and Andrew Wiggins and pieces were going to go to Miami. And the reason it fell apart is Durant said, I don't want to go there. And it fell apart. Now, Durant really doesn't have any power. He doesn't have a no-trade clause. He signed this year and next year. So other than just wanting a happy player, which I understand, he didn't have any reason to kill the deal. Would Minnesota have said, screw it, we're just going to take him anyway? Who cares if he's unhappy? Or was Durant showing a willingness to go play in Minnesota?
Yeah, I have audio to go with more NBA news if you want.
Sure.
You want to put me up here? This is from the NBA Today on ESPN, and this is Sham speaking about it. Couple minutes ago.
Just tell me, Ben Simmons, the three-time All-Star, and the Brooklyn Nets are working on a potential contract buyout to make him a free agent. The Los Angeles Clippers and Cleveland Cavaliers are potential suitors for him as a free agent. I expect now Ben Simmons will try to join a contender.
Good. Okay. Good. Goodbye. I mean, goodbye.
The Nets still in the league.
Ben Simmons just played his last game with the Nets.
Goodbye. I'm so done with Ben Simmons. I'm done with everything about Ben Simmons. I can't believe there was even a moment where I thought it could work.
The hapless Nets.
The Ben Simmons era.
Could Ben Simmons on the Cavs potentially eliminate the Knicks this spring?
Wow.
Look, if it involves eliminating the Knicks, I'm signing up for it, but don't count on it. I mean, Ben Simmons is a stiff.
What is he playing? Small forward.
He's a backup five.
Defensive small forward.
Nice.
Like what's he averaging? Like 5 points a game?
There are things Ben can still do on the floor, but I would not trust him getting playoff minutes. So let the buyout happen and we can all move on.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.